This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
This woman is your lawful wedded wife.
Ooh, yeah!
Oh, no.
Place the ring on her finger and repeat after me. With this ring.
With this ring.
I thee wed.
I thee wed.
Hello, and welcome to With This Ring, number 22. I'm your co-host, Ryan Everett.
I'm your co-host, Cindy Everett.
And today we'll be continuing our look into the GWCW Greatest Wrestler Ever poll, and we're going with one of the franchises of WCW and Sting.
Yeah, this the Ultimate Warrior of WCW.
Yes.
I don't think I even know his real name. Like, I did not know a lot about Sting before we watched all these matches.
Right.
Because he never wrestled in WWE, did he?
Like, just... In 2014,
I kind of remember that.
He had a few matches.
Yeah. Tell me about Sting. What's his background?
So it's kind of, like you said, the Ultimate Warrior. They actually trained together.
Oh, okay.
And were a tag team early on.
Really?
Yeah. It was Sting and Rack.
Oh, so, well, foreshadowing.
Yes. Yeah, so then, eventually they kind of went their separate ways, though, pretty early. They didn't get along too well.
Hmm.
And
why not?
Just, I think everyone kind of agrees the Warrior was
he was the problem, not
Sting. Right, gotcha. Yeah. So Sting ended up in the UWF, which was eventually sold to WCW. So he came into WCW like through the back door, kind of.
Got it. Through acquisition, as we say.
Right, yes. And then he just kind of started slowly building his way up. I mean, he was, you know, jacked with a painted face, so who's going to catch on pretty quickly?
Right, yeah, it's pretty popular.
Especially, like, yeah, the Road Warriors were around Legion of Doom.
Oh, yeah.
So, and they were, like, the big tag team, so he was pretty quickly, like, linked to them, and they teamed up when they needed to. But then... Eventually, he was given the first Clash of the Champions, our first of four, our mini-series of
Sting versus Ric Flair matches. I'll have to pull up my notes. What's his real name?
Steve Borden.
Would not have guessed that.
No.
Where's he from?
He was born in Nebraska, but he was raised in Southern California.
Okay, so nice Omaha.
Yes.
Boy. He's billed from, like, Huntington Beach or something.
From Venice Beach.
Venice Beach, yes.
Yes.
Obviously. Yeah, we watched a lot of Ric Flair matches. But the first one, well, I don't know. I like the match itself, but
yeah.
I don't like the endings.
Yeah, the ending, especially, yeah, having a judge's decision.
Right. The whole point of a judge's decision is to have a decision.
And two votes for Ric Flair, two votes for Sting, and one vote for a draw.
Can't vote for a draw.
I know. Yeah, that's a problem. WCW has problems with judges sometimes.
Yeah.
It's not the first and it's not the last time that will come up.
Oh, really?
Yes. But
Ric Flair's manager is in the shark cage.
Yes, J.J. Dillon was locked up in the shark cage to make sure he didn't interfere.
Yeah, I mean, this was a match I just kind of enjoyed watching. I said lots of lockups. There were a lot of time in the ring. They like to do, Sting likes to do the milk, like the overhead press.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
I feel like just once again watching four Ric Flair Sting matches, you kind of see what he has as his repertoire. He likes to do the military press, he likes to do a drop kick, is that what it's called?
Yeah, drop kicks, he's bigger.
Oh, yeah. But I think I did notice the most recent one we watched, a little slowed down a little bit, not as spry.
Yeah, but and I think also...
To be fair, that's not, those were 9 years apart.
And I think Sting, like, is super energetic in the first one, but he learns to, like, slow down and not, like, in a bad way, like, in a...
Right.
Not get too ahead of yourself
kind
way
of
as it goes on.
Build the suspense.
Right.
Yeah, the Wonder Years kid. There's a lot going on in
that yes.
match.
Yes,
the Wonder Years kid was there.
The Penthouse Playmate of the Month or
she
year.
She was there. There was a guy hanging from the ceiling. And it was a good match. Like, I mean, I kind of thought it was going to go the whole 45 minutes, just the way the announcers
right, they
were
kept
hinting.
Bringing it up, yeah.
And seeing that, that's why I was especially disappointed. And I thought there was going to be shenanigans. And I was like, oh, there's not. There's going to be a clean win. And then, no.
No. Timeless draw.
Yeah. That's not good. So that's the Ric Flair kept the title, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He remained champ and just kind of kept going for a while.
Yeah. So when's the first time you saw this match?
This would be one that, like, they would show as the best of Clash of the Champions a lot because
it's one of the best ones.
And it's one of the best ones. And, like, no matter what, Ric Flair and Sting were. Like, once I started watching WCW, they were always there, so they didn't have to worry about showing guys that aren't on the promotion anymore on, like,
gotcha.
A best of show, which sometimes, you know, the best of are missing some good matches, but hey, that guy's on WWF, so you don't want to show him.
Gotcha. So it's more marketing. What is this?
I don't know. Some glacier or something.
Sorry. Anyways.
Waves breaking on the shores of Tahiti.
Oh, okay. You can edit this part out, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't ever seen this one before.
Well, okay. Sting's a surfer. It works.
Okay.
Surfer
yeah.
Sting, at least, for the first couple.
Yeah, well. It was...
So should we talk about all the Ric Flair matches at once, or do you want to do it?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay. So the first one was Clash of the Champions.
1988.
In 88, and then...
1990, Great American Bash.
Right.
Lots of chops. Sting's knee was hurt. I don't think you knew that.
No, they didn't mention that very often.
This was a lot faster paced.
Yeah. And it's a lot shorter.
That's true.
I think it's about 16 minutes.
I wrote down, all their friends are around the ring to make sure there's no interference, which to me means there will be interference.
Exactly.
And I wrote, yep, the four horsemen run out and they get stopped by Sting. Then I wrote, the sparkler face is amazing. And the
I think that would be El Gigante.
That's right.
Who held off Ole Anderson just by being very, very tall.
Yes, obviously.
Yes, and he was someone the Atlanta Hawks drafted for basketball.
Oh, really?
And then, like, once they got him over here, his legs were too weak for basketball.
Oh, my
so
gosh.
There's like, hey, we got a wrestling group. You want to be part of that?
So what was his contract like?
I don't know. He wrestled for, like, 2 years there, and then Vince McMahon saw him being the worst wrestler in the world. He was like, I'll take some of that, please. And wrestled in the WWF for a year.
Well, I wonder how he got a green card.
Well,
working visa, yeah. HB1.
Sure, you could get, you know.
Yeah, after the rules have changed
drafted
seven times over. Yeah.
To be a basketball player, became a wrestler. Same entertainment sports venue.
Sure. We'll go with that.
And then the next Ric Flair Sting match would have been Saturday night.
1993.
Yes.
And they're both faces.
Right. This one, they're both faces.
Oh, there's too many two counts in this one. There's too many two counts, and it's the ref with, like, the really, like, flippy, weird count. Nick Patrick. He was, like, soaked in sweat, too.
Yeah, he gets very sweaty under the bright lights of center stage.
Must be, but yeah. So this one was probably my least favorite.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
You didn't like the fans chanting, whoop, there it is?
I mean, I did, but the match itself, it was just a lot of two counts, lots of roll-ups. Then Sid Vicious comes out
and yeah.
interferes, so. Yeah, very good.
A little scurry ending, I'll give you that.
Yeah. And then, oh, then the next one.
Yes.
So I like the next one.
Clash of the Champions 27.
1994.
And it's the unification between the WCW World title and the WCW International title.
Oh, is that what's going on?
Yeah, because they got in a fight with the NWA, which was still kind of had like their board of governors apart from WCW.
Hmm.
But they had both belts.
Okay.
So then the NWA said you own the belt, but you can't call it the NWA title anymore. So they made it the WCW International title.
Whatever.
And
there's
then they
all
just
different
were like, let's just get one belt to give to Hulk Hogan.
Right. So that what they did?
Yes.
But Hulk Hogan led in this match.
Well, it's pretty much about him, though.
Oh, okay.
If you listen to the announcers.
Oh, yeah. They did mention him quite a bit. But Sherry came out in Sting makeup, so people thought that she was for Sting. But, and then, because especially since Ric Flair, Sting was going off the top rope to jump on Ric Flair, and then Ric Flair pushed Sherry. She took the fall.
Yeah.
And then Sting was so upset and distracted that Ric Flair won on the crossbody.
He rolled him up.
That's right. He rolled him up. And then I said Flair pushes Sherry and Sting's crossbody. Yeah. And then Sherry and Rick have a little moment, and you realize that she was on his side all along.
Yep.
I don't know why.
She willingly took that.
Yes. And then she like jumped off the rope onto Sting and did some like fake kicking that was somewhat convincing. Oh, I don't know why I just had this thought, but there was no like long narrative like we have with Mick Foley being like a runaway pirate.
Yeah.
Sting didn't really do as much acting, now that I think about
it. Well, he was kind of in, like, he was in the Beach Blast promo where...
Oh, he was. That's great.
He was in a lot of those, but he wasn't...
Oh, you're right.
He was kind of just the straight man.
We should watch that again.
He was in that. I mean, he was in all... He was in the White Castle affair. He takes the helicopter to...
Oh, that's true. Vader's we didn't watch castle. Any of those.
Yeah, well, not this time around. Yeah. But
we can watch it again.
Yeah.
I feel like I didn't get to see his acting as much.
Well...
It's Mick Foley and his
I don't know if that's really great acting.
Yeah, well, isn't that one thing we're rating them on?
Yeah,
characters.
Kind of. True.
See?
Yeah, so.
Next.
So make sure to put that in your rating for Sting. Try to think of him getting clotheslined off the boat and emerging eventually.
Yeah, he should get an Oscar for that. Or at least like a SAG or what's the like bullshit one? Well, I guess all of them.
Yeah, all of them.
There was one that was especially lame. Anyways, so sorry, I don't know why I thought of that.
So how would you rank the Ric Flair matches?
I actually picked, apart from the ending, I like the 1988 one the best. And then I like the Sherry one.
Okay,
shorter.
Yeah.
And then the 1990 Great American Bash. And then, yeah, the 1993 one. I really did not care for that one.
See,
what do you think?
I've put 1993 one first because that was the one that like I had never seen before. So it's kind
of
like...
you have more like memories associated with these matches.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think they're all like good. I think Great American Bash 90 I'd put last just because... It's the shortest, and you could tell Sting was still coming back from an injury. Like, he's moving around slower and stuff. So, and then I'd probably put the Clash 27 second, and then the Clash of the Champions 1 third. Because I always kind of thought that match got, like, overrated eventually. Like, where...
Yeah, once again, you have more...
Right.
Context. To me, I thought it was really good because I hadn't watched it and I wasn't aware of the hype.
Right.
So, going in fresh, it's very good.
And you see J.J. Dillon get put in a shark cage, which is always fun.
That is good. That's a good gimmick.
Yeah.
I've seen that before.
Yeah, they do it every once in a while. They did it when we went to the Royal Rumble. Chris Jericho was up in the shark
cage. That's right.
So, we've seen it.
We've seen a shark cage person.
Yep. All right, let's take a little break here. All right, real quick before we keep going, we want to tell you about some of the great things on the Place to Be Nation. Please rate, review, and subscribe. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. Just search Place to Be Wrestling Network. We have plenty of great content for you here at the Place to Be. The Place to Be Podcast, the mothership of the Place to Be Nation, where co-hosts JT Rosero and Scott Criscolo take you chronologically through the history of WWE.
PTBN Main Event with hosts Scott Criscolo, Nate Milton, and Steve Will breaking down all the current events in the world of wrestling.
Talking WCW heads to Center Stage Theater where Tim Capel, Greg Phillips, Jennifer Smith pay tribute to the legendary promotion from the Dirty South.
Do we do a promo for our own?
No, we can skip that one.
Highway to the Impact Zone where Logan Crossland and Jacob Williams discuss the era of TNA starting with the birth of the Impact TV show.
The NWA Saturday Special, where Scott Criscolo and George Dr. G. Ribello talk both current and classic National Wrestling Alliance.
Hmm. Plus, monthly WWE PPV reaction shows and semi-regular shows like Jenny and the Gems, PTB NXT, Adam's Division, Special Relations, Chicken Salad, Senior Video, NWA Croc and Roll, Extreme Resurrection, and more.
Yeah. And also, make sure to listen to our quad of pods. We have the PTB Pop Experience. It's all about pop culture. We have the best in TV, movies, comics, trivia shows, and much more.
Jennifer Smith is always in the Jenny position with her unique takes on pop culture and life. Her feed is loaded with great shows ranging from movies, books, Marvel, and more. If you are interested in doing a pop culture podcast, Jenny wants to talk to you. Reach out to her on Twitter at JennyPosition to learn more.
Also make sure to join JT Rosero, Aaron George, and Chad Campbell for great shows on wrestling, comics, and more with the North-South Connection feed. Check out the histories of WWE, TNA, and other great wrestling topics and takes.
Also, Glenn and Scott Butler are continuing their spectacular journey through music, films, and more on the Non-Toxic Fanboys podcast, where they try to enjoy the things they love. Find them at Non-Toxic Fanboys on Twitter, nontoxicfanboys.com, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
And make sure to join the Rejuvenated Place to Be discussion group on Facebook. Go to Facebook, look up Place to Be, and request an invite. Discussions and fun with wrestling, movies, tournaments, and all forms of pop culture.
Our 2021 stretch project is determining the greatest NWA/WCW wrestler of all time. Go to facebook.com/GWCW and join the group to discuss nominees.
And make sure to check out placetobenation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes bringing you articles on topics in the world of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including Trent's SmackDown on Fox Report, Paulie's Perspective, and Matt's Disney Live Action Journey.
And if you're doing some online shopping from Amazon, be sure to click the banner on the right side of the Place to Be Nation homepage or use www.placetobenation.com/Amazon. And it takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN with no cost to you.
Yep. All right, let's go back to the show. And we'll come back and go over Sting matches not involving
Ric Flair. Non-Ric Flair ones. That's a good way to divide it up. Speaking of sharks, did you see...
All right, and we're back. So next, what we'll look at is the... we went over our four Sting Ric Flair matches, mm-hmm. and now we'll go over our Sting versus not Ric Flair matches, which we also did four of.
Yeah, that was a lot of matches.
Yeah. So the first one we did was Sting versus the Great Muta.
Mm-hmm. Over in Japan.
Yes, in Japan for the special WCW New Japan Super Show. And what happened here?
Sting is very strong and athletic. Muta hits moonsault, and Stinger hits him in the knees. People are really into it.
Yeah.
Lots of kickouts. I assume, though, since this match is in Japan, that's why the Great Muta wins.
Probably, yeah.
With the green mist in the face. So there's a lot of mist. Explain the mist.
So the different mist. Green is, like, the most common.
Oh, okay. Is it, like, poisonous?
It's a poison mist, but it's not that.
Gotcha.
You recover pretty quickly.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like if you're the red mist, that could blind you, though. And if it's yellow, good luck. You might die. Those are very rarely used.
Are you just joking, or do they really have yellow and red mist?
No, there are different color mists, and they do have different levels of
potency.
Potency, I guess. Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll there's that. That.
All right. Yeah.
And then, so yeah, so Sting goes for the Stinger Splash and gets sprayed with the mist.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards,
just for the mist,
it turns into a big WCW New Japan
brawl. That's right, yeah, everyone
brawl,
comes out.
Where they
was this like the main event of that?
I think it was the second to last match.
Okay.
But it would have been like, the next match was Ric Flair versus Tenryu, a Japanese guy. So this would have been more like the
undercard
entertainment.
Gotcha.
Like. Main of
aren't they all entertainment?
Well, yeah, but this was like the two big things,
like crowd pleasers.
Yeah, right. Because
gotcha.
Sting came out like in his American flag attire again.
That's right.
He still got cheered pretty heavily, so it wasn't like
that's true. Yeah,
boo the evil foreigner, you know.
Mm-hmm. Like we love Sting.
Yeah,
Sting's on.
Sting's on. Sting's on.
All right.
So then next we went to Clash of the Champions.
Mm-hmm. This is 1992 versus yep. Rick Rude.
Yep, and the big King of Cable semifinal match.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And this is
another one out to the judges.
But this time
they decided.
This time they actually make a decision.
It was only 20 minutes. Yeah. So, you know, obviously, I think like this one felt like a little bit more like hit the beats, kind of had the momentum switches,
right?
Tension build. Oh yeah, this is at the very end. He was just about to get him in a move, right?
Right. Yeah. He was just about to get him in the scorpion, but it didn't matter.
Right. They kind of ends on a cliffhanger.
Right.
And this time the judges do make a decision. So.
And I think they were actually pretty,
the right decision.
Pretty good, because like usually a heel will take most of a match, but here it's pretty even because Sting does kind of like stay hot for the first.
That's true. He was hot
8 minutes,
yeah,
and then Root takes over, but then Sting takes over, and then they kind of have a stalemate at the end.
Yeah, I mean, to what extent? I know there's like a certain formula, but it seems like. I mean, I don't know, how common is that to be like, okay, first 8 minutes is this guy, next 8 minutes is this guy?
Depending on the like match, it's usually, like, it's pretty standard to have the face comes in, hits his first flurry of moves, heel cheats somehow, takes control, works over the match, then the face comes back.
Like, comes from behind.
Yeah, and then, like, eventually, then you go to your finish, whichever way it's going to.
It's like the hero's journey.
Right. I mean, that's kind of like the standard, like, if to, like, to graduate from wrestling school, you should be able to do a 10-minute version of that match.
Gotcha. Graduate from wrestling school.
Cool. Yeah. So, yeah. So, Sting wins, and pretty good, and then he goes on to face Vader for the King of Cable. Which we met before.
That's right.
So he wins. He's the king of all of cable.
Oh, good.
Yeah. It means anything. He's got a little trophy.
Now. Yeah. And no one has cable anymore.
No.
Well, that's all right.
Maybe they'll have a king
Sting
of YouTube TV.
Gosh. Sting's still alive, right?
Yeah, he's in AEW, actually.
Oh, he's still wrestling?
Like one, like.
Gotcha. Like
two matches a year.
Like Christian's wrestling now. And
yeah.
Well, good for him. I'm sure he gets paid a lot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure he does. And he. Sold a lot of shirts, like, the first time he showed up in
AEW. Yeah, that's a good point. Like, I'm sure if he gets the cut of the merchandise, and it's like,
why not?
Not good for him. He seems, did he keep his nose clean, figuratively?
Well.
Literally?
The last, like, 20 years he has.
Yeah.
I think, like, towards the end of WCW, he kind of started spiraling a bit. But
oh, really?
Not too bad compared to others.
Yeah. I mean, that's gotta be tough to see everyone around you making bad decisions and get out of that.
Right, yeah. So, next we go to 1996.
Yes.
Against Lord Steven Regal. And this is, he didn't have the puffy coat at this time, but this is the Sting era that's usually referred to as Sergeant Pepper's.
Okay.
Because he had a hand like a sequin.
The epaulets.
Yeah. Which, of course, he doesn't wear hair, but with the hair and whatnot.
Yeah.
The hair's growing out.
Yeah, he's kind of like, he went from like Neon Sting to like Mime Sting, especially in the last match we watched.
Right.
With, I thought it was William Regal. That was Steve Regal.
Well, he's Lord Steven Regal. Now he's William Regal in NXT and stuff.
Okay, that's why I thought.
So, yeah.
All right,
so
you, make that up.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah, it was a different look for Sting. This match is just kind of weird. They're like kind of dancing around.
Yeah,
like,
Regal is really feeling himself here. And he's like, well, because it was kind of like a thing where he had been like the TV champion off and on for a lot. But now they kind of didn't have anything for him to do. So he
cut
a promo where he's like, I should be respected. And the only way I'm going to get respected is if I wrestle Sting.
Hmm.
So this was like the biggest profile match he'd ever actually rise to.
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
And yeah, so he's kind of.
I'm the Wiz.
Did you like the powdered wig he came out in?
He had quite the outfit.
Yes.
He had like their big ruffle dick too, without a shirt on, which doesn't kind of defeats the purpose of like a ruffle.
Well, you still you want to let people know what you're about.
Very formal.
Yes, very formal.
Nobody meets me.
I'm the Wiz.
But yeah, this one was fine. It wasn't gonna like. I don't need to watch that again.
Yeah, it was just.
Dusty Rhodes had good commentary.
Of course he does.
That's true.
Hard fought. Yep. Win for Sting.
Mm-hmm. Wins the sharpshooter.
Scorpion Deathlock.
Oh, excuse me. It's the same move, though, right?
Yes. Of course. And then we took a look at the overarching Sting versus NWO storyline.
I kind of like, and then I like, that was good context. I'm glad that we watched that.
Yeah, because it would be weird if you go from happy-go-lucky, just kind of long-haired Sting against William Regal against Mime Sting against DDP.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of a sign of the times, right? Like,
just
the whole 90s and the fact, like, all the neon, then the late 90s, the attitude.
Yeah, you know? Black.
He's very representative of the whole arc, the zeitgeist of the plus, early 90s like, it was the late 90s.
Because he literally wrestled in one match in all of 1997.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like...
Why? Is he hurt?
He was hurt, and he had a thing in his contract where, like, he had to work, say, 350 days in the 4 years of this contract.
Oh, okay.
And he had wrestled all the days.
Oh, that's kind of smart.
Yeah. So he, like, banked them.
And then picked his sick days.
Huh. And then, like, for
like that, idea.
That year, like, he'd show up, like, every week or so in the rafters looking down. Until the one time when he rides down and zips up back up with a DDP.
Yeah. That's not safe.
So, yeah. So they did the thing where, like, for a while he's hanging out with Randy Savage in the rafters. And then Randy Savage joins the NWO. So everyone thinks he joined the NWO.
Yeah, they really like to do the fake stings.
Yes. But then he was faking them all out. He gets them all up with a baseball bat.
Yep.
Then he points to Hulk Hogan. Then they have the match. 8 months later.
8 months later.
Yeah, they really dragged it out. That was March, and the match happened at Starcade.
Did they like keep it going the whole time? Those 8 months, did they kind of like drop it? And...
Yeah, they kind of, they did. It would always be like Hulk Hogan would wrestle Lex Luger at a pay per view, and of course the NWO would have a fake Sting come out and cost them. It was kind of like Hulk Hogan wrestled other things, but Sting was always in the background, at least.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, I guess if that's nice to have a decoy, then you don't have to work and you can have...
Right. And, like, they would all... Like, even if... Like, Sting would still get involved every once in a while and, like, beat up the NWO with a baseball bat. So that was helping him kind of always stay in the forefront of people's... Gotcha.
So 8 months later when they wrestled, it was... Somewhat relevant still.
Yeah. It probably should have just been Sting going in and killing Hulk Hogan in like 3 minutes. Instead, WCW had to make it all weird with there being Hulk Hogan winning by a fast count that isn't even a fast count.
It's almost like they didn't know how to be successful.
They didn't know how to get to the finish line, really.
Yeah.
They could do a lot of good things, but then, like, especially like the NWO was good when it started, but then they just... Never really finished it the way they should have, so. Which really should have probably been Sting winning the title and, like, them all splitting apart. Yeah. But you wouldn't want to do that.
Well, you can write yourself some fanfic.
Oh, there's been plenty of people that have, yes.
You and yourself included?
Yeah. Not really that version. So.
Wow.
But then eventually Sting does get the title. And, of course, as champ, he plays second fiddle to Hulk Hogan still, because that's kind of what he does.
That's always how it happens,
yeah. And Nitro, he defends against the United States heavyweight champion, Diamond Dallas Page, from March of 98.
Yeah. His mask kind of, like, reminded me of Asuka a little bit.
Yeah. I can see that, yeah.
I know he's obviously predates her, but is she wrestling still?
Yeah. She's still around.
Oh, good for her. Is she in NXT or on the main roster?
Main roster.
Okay, good for her. I know, it's like things are starting to get started again.
Right.
So, we'll see. Well, maybe we can do like a best of 2020.
No.
Which would be very short.
I'm done watching empty arena matches for the time being.
No one wants to do a best of 2020. No. But
it'd be a very short list.
Yes, I said Sting wins. Yeah, definitely not as spry as he... used to be, but I mean, we watched matches that were a 10-year spread, so
I
get it. And yeah, it was definitely interesting to see his evolution
from
1988 Sting to 1998 Sting, but like I said, it's very actually representative of culture at large.
Yes. Yeah.
So 1997, that was the Attitude Era. Like, when did like the Attitude Era get started?
Like 97.
Okay.
It was kind of like in conjunction with when the NWO was going on in WCW.
Oh, okay. Degeneration X versus
NWO. Yes, yes, that's what they would make it out to be.
Huh. Actually, I feel like I've heard about NWO more than Degeneration X.
Yeah, they're Degeneration X is more is because WWF won. Like, it wouldn't be as impactful.
Gotcha. Oh, you're going to have to review these again for me, the categories. Yep. All
right, so give me 1 second to find
the criteria.
Yes.
Criteria. All
right, so nuance, which is longevity, flexibility, and intangibles. Jump up factor is memorable peak matches, moments, and storylines. P is promo skills and character work. And then W is work rate.
Oh, what's work rate mean again?
Like the actual, how good his matches are.
Okay. I'm going to give him a high W.
All right.
I guess, well, see, I don't know. I might have to redo like some of the previous ones. Poor Dusty Rhodes at a 3.
Yeah, that was.
I don't know. And I gave Cactus Jack an 8.5. I feel like Sting's just as good as Cactus Jack. Work rate. No, I'm going to give him an 8.
Yeah. Also, I'm kind of going to grade off just what we saw.
Okay.
There's also some bad Sting matches.
Well, you can go through your whole... I'm
going to go 7.
Because I'm also thinking of his, you know, his Academy Award winning promos.
Right. Well,
so.
Yeah, that would be in... well, that's
P.
kind of... Yeah, I
promos.
Would see. Yeah. P, yes. P would be promos.
That's pretty funny. I'm going to give him... They're good, but, like, looking at the other scores I've given, I think he gets a 7. Like, he's no Dusty... He's no orator.
Right.
He's no actor.
Yeah, I'd give him... Yeah, I'll give him a 7 there also. Because, yeah, he's... He gets what he needs to across and stuff, but it's kind of just a bit above.
But if you're against Dusty Rhodes and Cactus Jack, you're not going to get
Yeah, exactly. Well, you gave Dusty Rhodes a 7 for a promo, which is ludicrous.
I might have to revise that. Like, he was the first one. Come on.
All right. And then, so jump up factor. So, like, memorable peak matches, moments, and storylines. And just, I'm going to give him, this is going to be my highest, I'm going to give him a 9.5. Because, like, with the NWO, that was huge. Like, what? That was the year-long feud, basically. Him versus the NWO.
Oh, okay.
So,
I
and,
see.
Like, then also when he wins the title from Ric Flair, the first Clash of the Champions match.
Yeah, see, once again, for me, just kind of, like, watching just this little subset,
right,
it's a little
yeah.
hard to get the whole picture. I'll give him an 8. I didn't get the same
right, I think that's fair.
That you did. And then nuance.
Yeah, so that was...
Is he very nuanced? Like I said, I think I saw him do the same moves every match.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not so much...
Well, flexibility. He's not really showing a lot of range.
Right, that's kind of... Well, I would say Surfer Sting to Crow Sting is quite a bit of range.
That's just makeup.
Yeah, but it was a different character also, though. He's, like, all somber and...
Yeah, but that, I guess, intangibles. I mean, he's still the set. That referred to more, like, the wrestling flexibility.
No, I mean, it means to, like, his ability to wrestle as a good guy, bad guy.
Okay.
Different... Characters.
Yeah, I guess. I'll give him an 8.
8? Yeah, I'll go 7.5 here.
Okay. Interesting. I like, yeah, okay.
So, sum.
Equal sign. Equal sign. S-U-M. Yeah, there you go. Hit enter. It knows what you're trying to do. There you
go. So, each gave him
31.
31.
Okay.
Which right now we would have him as
oh,
the
man.
Second
I
highest.
To, I have to give Dusty Rhodes. I have to go back and redo Dusty
yeah.
Rhodes. not,
yeah,
right,
I don't,
not right now.
I don't think Dusty Rhodes. Yeah, well, that's.
You have him below Sting, too.
I do. Well,
okay,
no, I could
okay,
say. No,
okay.
No, I think I'd have Sting ahead of
Dusty Rhodes.
And I'd have him ahead of Cactus Jack also, even
oh,
though
really?
I have him scored higher. Yeah, because, I mean, he's one of the top.
They're four. Very, they're very different.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I like watching the Cactus Jack because you know he's going to get like the crap beaten out of him.
Right, yeah.
And it's going to be funny. I don't know.
No, I think you could like Cactus Jack more, but I don't think as a WCW...
Greatest of all time.
Greatest, you could...
Who would go on the Mount Rushmore of WCW?
Ric Flair, Sting, and then probably Dusty Rhodes, and I don't know, I'd probably have Vader.
You really like Vader a lot.
Speaking of Vader, he is who we'll be covering next month.
All right. Someone got a Photoshop. Can Photoshop them on?
I'm sure there's some like meme generator where
probably
any four photos together. Yes,
I like that idea.
And since this will be dropping on Tuesday, happy birthday!
Aw, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. My 27th birthday.
Yep. So next time it will be Vader time. Until then, we will see you next time.
Bye.